Okay, good afternoon, everyone. The Appropriations Subcommittee on Education will now come to order. Joanne, please call the roll.
Chair Broxson?
Here.
Vice Chair Dier?
Here.
Senator Cruz?
Here.
Senator Gibson? Senator Grutas? Senator Hudson? Senator Pasadoma? Senator Polsky? We have a quorum.
Thank you, Joanne. Please silence all electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee should complete an appearance form and hand it to the member of sergeant's office. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be included in the committee meeting. All right, we're going to take up tab one, which is a review and discussion of the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget issues related to the Department of Education. Senators, before you today is the Appropriations Subcommittee on Education proposed budget for fiscal year 2022 and 23. I want to thank President Simpson and Chair Stargell for their strong support of education in Florida. After we finish our meeting today, we will be prepared to forward our proposal to the full Appropriations Committee. You should have a detailed budget spreadsheet in your packet. My plan today is to highlight the major funding issues in our proposed educational budget. Overall, this budget places an increased emphasis on early literacy and pre-K education. Historic funding increases in FEFP, BPA programs represent a significant investment towards helping to ensure that every child is able to read before the third grade. And I want to just bear down on this, that if you have been to our meetings, the early meetings dealt with the major dilemma that we have statewide and really nationwide, and too many of our kids, up to 40%, go through the third grade without the ability to read at a third grade level. This is reprehensible, and it's something we must do something about. This package includes funding that will aid in us making an honest effort to change that narrative. Total funding for education, including local funds, is $38.1 billion. Some overall highlights of pre-K education and FEFP. The proposal for 2022-23 FEFP provides $24.1 billion for public schools, representing $1.5 billion increase over the current year. This is the second largest increase in total FEFP funding in the last 30 years. The proposed FEFP increase increases the total funding per FTE by 352, or 4.54%. The proposal also provides $239 increase in the FEFB BSA, representing $1 billion increase in base flexible funds for school districts. As we know, school districts love flexible funds. Based on available data, it appears this is the largest base fund increase in FEFB history, or at least in the last 25 years. Regarding specific increases within FEFB, $50 million increase for a teacher salary increase, or a total of $600 million. $40 million increase in the reading instruction allocation for a total of $170 million to provide additional resources to support struggling readers across all districts and charter schools. Parenthetically, this gives the school superintendents and school board greater flexibility to implement their programs that are unique to their area and to their students. So we are looking forward to see the improvement that they can make with this increased funding. $30 million increase in state safe school allocations for a total of $210 million. $20 million increase in mental health assistance allocation for a total of $140 million. $56.4 million increase in student transportation assistance allocation for a total of $515 million. And I want to congratulate the president, who has made an unbelievable effort in what I'm going to read you next. These historic FEFP increases are provided for an expectation that all school districts will ensure every employee is paid at a minimum wage of at least $15 per hour beginning in 2022 and 23. In addition to the increase in FEFP funding, the proposed budget provides additional funds for other critical pre-K issues. Specifically, the proposal provides $302 million to provide supplemental BSA payments to VPA program providers who agree to use these funds to raise all VPK instructors' wages to at least $15 an hour. For participating providers, this will raise the VPK BSA from $2,486 to $3,294, which is the highest level in the program history. $30 million to provide financial incentives and awards to early education instructors and child care workers who obtain early literacy micro-credentials established pursuant to forthcoming legislation. This is a very important part of the program in that we are going to have more qualified people in the classroom teaching our kids how to read and other basic fundamental skills. This is something that I think all of you have read about, members. Jefferson County schools are in a little bit of a free fall. As you know, the charter school that was established by the Department of Education has decided to vacate that county, leaving a great vacuum. We are not going to leave them abandoned, and we are setting aside $5 million to ensure their success. And as we broadcast today, this message will go to the superintendent and the people, the good people of Jefferson County, to know that at least the Senate is going to be there for them to help them get through this transition. $4.5 million in additional funds to the Seed School of Miami, $42 million for school hardening grants. And that is the end of the pre-K. That concludes the educational budget. I now go to higher education. For student financial aid, the proposed budget funds workload for the Bright Future Scholarship Programs, the Beniquisto Scholarship Program, the Children and Spouses of Deceased and Disabled Veterans Program, and Minority Teacher Scholarship Program. Finally, the state university and private colleges. The proposed budget provides $10 million in additional funds to support the Moffitt Cancer Center and funds ease workload with an increase per student award from to $2,841 per student to $3,000 per student. That concludes my budget as proposed this year. Does anyone have any questions or comments? We will take them from members at this time. Yes, Senator Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Line four, voluntary pre-K program adjust workload, a reduction, it looks like. What can you tell me what's happening in the VPK world?
Senator, I am going to let staff just go over that with you, if that's okay, because I know there may be several places in the budget. We've been working on this, and they can articulate in more detail exactly the answer to your question.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. Senator, that's just a decrease based on workload, estimated workload. So the workload for the year went down, and so that's typical with VPK. If it goes up, we fund it at the current BSA level. If it goes down, it will go down unless based on the workload. Now, we do have, in the next line, we do have a BSA increase that the Chair talked about. But that line is strictly a workload factor driven by the workload and estimated cost.
That's for it.
Yes. Continue.
And that also represents, and I may be saying it in reverse, that we don't anticipate in the coming year that workload will increase at all. We just anticipate it to be this much down.
Yes, ma'am. And that, fortunately, is a part of an estimating conference led by EDR, so that's one that both everybody consensus upon. So that's based on the best available data at this time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Cruz.
Well, Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just a couple of questions for clarification for myself. Moving down to line 25, I see the fund shift from general revenue to the school trust fund. And I think I see it a couple times, 25, 26, 27 is the educational enhancement. And I'm curious, why are we fund shifting from general revenue to trust fund?
Okay. Again, this is a pretty detailed process, and I would like for staff to walk through why that we did that.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I mean, Senator, that's again the standard thing we do every year when we have increases in lottery funding, which must be used for education and SSTF. So that helps actually fund some of the increase, actually. So that's something that's pretty standard.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Moving on to the higher ed line four, again, the balance of the lottery funds to the available revenue or the general revenue, I see a deduction there and am looking for where it went. Does that drop into line 18? Nope, that's another deduction.
No, ma'am, that's just, a general fund shift because we can spend, if you look across, you'll see the on line five, we're actually picking up it's just a net zero essentially. But it's just because we have available resources from lottery and state school trust fund, which must be used for education generally, that we're doing that. So.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
On line 41, there's a reduction of current year base for institutional investment and performance-based incentives. It looks like quite a reduction. Could you tell me why and where that, why is there such a reduction there?
Through the chair, yes, ma'am. That's again just a standard thing, and that we do every year with universities as part of their performance funding process. You deduct the performance, the institutional performance funds, and essentially it goes right back to them. It's just a procedural thing. It doesn't. I think if there's any universities here, they could testify to that. So. Yeah.
Okay. And finally, Mr. Chair, on the sheet where the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Education recommendations, can you speak to the school hardening grant program? I see a substantial amount of money set aside for it, and is that available to every school or only certain school districts?
Through the chair, yes, ma'am. There's a security audit that each of the districts have to do. And this money is set aside, and essentially based on the results of those audits, they can apply and get some of this money for specific things like security fences and so forth. So it's available to everyone based on the needs based on that audit.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Gibson.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. The line, the minority teacher scholarship program, repeat what you said in your narrative about that. I'm just wondering how many scholarships is funded with $582,000.
Through the chair, Senator, I'd have to get you the detail on that, but there was an increase in, I think there were an increase in the number of schools that became available to participate in that program, so that's what generated the workload increase.
So that's an increase?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that's a good. The last question is, and I know I talked to Senator Broxton about this, the public radio. Is public radio and public television in our budget? What line is that?
Chair, that'd be in the pre-K-12 budget. There's a little bit of a workload increase there for capital, but I'm not sure. But the on line 100 and starting on line 100, row 100 in the pre-K budget, that's the operating budget for public radio and TV. And you see a little bit of increase in there for the Capital Technical Center. But there's base funds in there. You can see the base is about $9.9 million. So that's where those issues are funded.
Does follow up, Mr. Chair?
Follow up.
Does that include the radio portion, the 13 of them across the state?
Yes, ma'am. There are radio. I couldn't get to test to the 13, but there are radio stations funded in there.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions? Any public input? I'm sure there is, but I doubt if you want to talk about it today. Okay. Well, listen, thank you. This has been a robust, appreciate all of your input. I think I've met every one of you at least twice during this process, and it's been a real joy, and we do have to make a few motions if there's not any public testimony. Daniel Ring. Daniel Ring?
Oh, he's back in.
Yes. Would you like to say something, sir? Okay. Come on up. Mr. Ring, I think you're speaking for yourself. Okay.
The reason I didn't raise my hand is that I realized the Senate Bill 790 that has already gone through your subcommittee. I have a lot of concerns about that bill. I don't know if you have.
We're on the budget today.
Yeah.
And I would suggest you get with the chairman and discuss.
Well, it's a special category.
Okay.
So it's, all right. There's a Office of Inspector General report from Mike Blackburn at FDOE. That details the funds and how they were used over 2 years.
Okay.
That's $20 million. Okay. And there's a gentleman working in Broward County Schools currently that personally benefited from that over 2 years.
Okay, sir.
I think there
again,
should be.
If you will direct your comments to the appropriate, and you would be glad to help you find that person to file a complaint or whatever.
Okay, yeah, and I didn't raise my hand because I knew it wasn't part of today, but who would I speak with?
Why don't you just wait around, and we'll try to find the person you can make contact with.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Senators, I move to allow staff to make technical corrections and adjustments without objection. Show that motion is adopted. Senators, we're moving to accept the appropriations Subcommittee on Education 2022-23 budget proposal as a recommendation to the full Senate Appropriations Committee. Without objection, show that adoption, that motion is adopted. Is there any business to come before the committee that we have not gone over? Former chair of this committee, Pasadomo, moves that we adjourn.
Second.